This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
alone are my redemption. We are safe in you. And this morning we are privileged to be here under your word, and especially because we know that you care and that you have a specific word for us. Lord, it's not like we're just somewhere little there and we don't matter, Father. No, you care. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter what we've done, you care. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. And I pray, Lord, that you help us, Lord, this morning to open our hearts so that we can receive your word. So that we can see you, Lord, that we can be free, Lord. We say this not for our glory, but for yours, in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Amen. If you want to open your Bibles, you can open it at Matthew 9. It will be on the screen as well, and it's on your Bible app. Matthew 9, verse 35. Okay, we're going to read a short piece about the harvest this morning. Okay, I'm reading from verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Amen. It's reading to there. It's such a small piece of scripture, right? But if we look at just, what is it, four verses, there's so much in here. And I want to tell you this morning that this morning, talking about the harvest, it's not something that I'm like, oh, it's harvest time, let's talk about the harvest. Or, you know, the theme of our conference this year, or actually the theme of Shofar as a whole, the theme is the sound of the harvest, okay? So I didn't think about the sound of the harvest. I didn't think about springtime, whatever. When I prayed for today, the Lord said to me, talk about the harvest. Now, whoa. If we talk about the harvest, we need to know what is the harvest, right? It's easy for us to get words, especially as Christians. We just talk about things, but we don't know what we are talking about. Okay, and even here, when Jesus says to his disciples, the harvest are plentiful. It's plentiful. In other words, there's one thing that we know about the harvest, and that is big. If you're a farmer and you have a big harvest, are you happy? Yeah. But what do you know if you have a big harvest? It's hard work. It's hard work. Okay, so I hope you are ready for the message this morning. Buckle yourself up and say, Lord, be merciful. No, I'm joking. Okay, but just open your hearts to what God wants to say to us today, that he will speak and that we will be able to listen. I think sometimes we come to church and we think we should just be able to figure things out and we must just understand. But sometimes we must really allow God to open up our hearts. Okay? Because we might think, I've got this, but we don't have it. We are not able in our own understanding to understand God's word. It's a spiritual book. It's a spiritual book. It is not a normal love story or romance, although there's lots of that in there. But for us to really understand, we have to say, Lord, open my heart. Help me to understand your word this morning, right? Why? Because we want to do what he says. Amen? Amen. Okay, you're all still with me. Great stuff. Who or what is the harvest? Denji, do you have an answer? No. The unsaved people. Definitely. The people who are lost. But what does this word say? In verse 36, it says the harassed and the helpless. I think we always talk about the harvest as the lost, right? The people that are not saved. But do we really realize who they are? It's easy to say, oh, the lost, pray for the lost. Because we keep them very far from us then. It's the lost. But God, Jesus said here, the harassed and the helpless. Now, if we think about those two words, what does harassed mean? For me, as an Afrikaans person, I have to Google it, right? It means the following: stressed, strained, worn out, hard-pressed, and worried. Doesn't sound like these people are having a good time, is it? They are stressed out, they are worn out, they are worried, and they are helpless. In other words, they can't help themselves. Little children, they can't help themselves. You still have to do everything for them, right? But these people have no help, helpless. They are pressed down, they are worn out, they are helpless. And then Jesus says the following: they are like sheep without a shepherd. Anyone worked with sheep here? Can a sheep be on his own and survive? No ways. A sheep cannot stay on his own. Even I've heard if they are a little bit bigger and maybe pregnant or whatever, can a sheep be pregnant? What do you call it? Anyway, when it's a big beggar and it's lying on its back, it fell on its back, it can't get on its feet on its own again. Lying there, imagine. You know, and then it dies. But sheep cannot go without a shepherd. So Jesus is saying, look at these people. He's saying, look at this crowd. They're harassed and they are helpless and they do not have a shepherd. They are like sheep without a shepherd. What is the role of a shepherd? It protects the sheep. It looks after the sheep. It feeds the sheep. It carries the sheep. Sometimes when the sheep can't come anymore, there's a little, you know, one getting tired, it carries the sheep. It goes looks for the one that is lost. What else? I did write it down here. It loves the sheep. And it helps the sheep. So do you get that picture? That yes, people, Jesus is looking at a crowd and he's saying, they are harassed, they are helpless, and they are like sheep without a shepherd. How do we see the harvest? How do we feel when we see the harvest? What is going on in our hearts? I want to know by you, or just hear by you this morning, do you know the shepherd? Do you know the shepherd? Because if you know the shepherd, do you want others to also know the shepherd? Isn't it the best thing ever to know that there's someone that's looking out for you, who's protecting you, who's leading you, who knows where you should go? What does Psalm 23 says? He comforts us. He leads us. He even prepares a table for us. What? In the presence of our enemies. Thank you, Jesus, that you are my shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, that you chose me. There's lots more, Lord. There's lots more. So, what does he say? The workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Who's the workers? Is it us? Are you sure? Huh? Are you sure? What is a worker? A worker is someone who works. A worker is someone who works. Other translations say laborers or harvesters. Can you be a harvester if you are not harvesting? No. Can you be a worker if you are not working? No. So I just want to ask again, who is the workers? Who is the workers? Okay. Let's rather say, what does the workers do? The workers bring in the harvest. If you have a farm or grew up on a farm or know something about farming, or even if you have your little vegetable garden in the back, you know that when you have to take it, you have to take it, right? Otherwise it gets fraught. fraught is dead. I don't know, not nice. The things go off. You have to get it at the right time. Otherwise, it dies. Right? The harvest, and I do this all the time because I'm looking at the city, right? There's so many people that don't know Jesus. So I'm saying the harvest needs harvesters to bring them in. Why? Otherwise, they're going to die. Do you agree with me? Amen. Okay, let's say we are the workers. Let's say we are the workers. You're saying we're the workers, right? We're the workers. If we are the workers, do we all have the same function? Now it's like, thank you, Jesus. You know, like, I'm a worker, but at least, you know, I don't have to do all the work, right? And my Buddha's also very happy about that. Okay? But we all have different functions in the harvest. We all have different work, but it doesn't mean we're not working. Right? It doesn't mean we are not working. What happens here on a Sunday? Why do we have church? Why do we have church? To glorify God? To get together as believers? To encourage each other? But mostly, we want to shine a light to a broken world. Right? So if I come to church, yes, my focus firstly is to glorify Jesus. I mean, when people walk in here, they must know that Jesus is King and there's no one like him and he is the only way to the Father. That's the main aim here. But my second aim here is that whoever walks in here and they don't know Jesus, I want to love on them like never before. I want to show them that there is a real God who loves and cares. And when I prepare my message, I'm like, Lord, let this change people. Let this not just be a good word for me or sound, you know, nice or encouraging. Yes, that too. But let this be a message that changes us. And especially for those who don't know you. So whatever you're doing in the church, if you're part of the body, you also have an aim of glorifying Jesus and bringing in the lost. So it doesn't matter if you're doing the sound, if you're part of intercession, the kids' church. Your aim is we coming together to glorify the head, which is Jesus, of the body of Christ, and to see that people get to know him. Right? Do you agree with that? Have you ever thought of it like that? Let me tell you three things about workers. Workers deny themselves. Isn't that true? Let's think of the real work in getting the harvest in. If I have to go every morning and go get the harvest in, I can't think, oh, I want to sleep late. I can't think, oh, I want to watch that series rather. I can't think, oh, I rather want to, you know, just have a big breakfast, you know, or whatever. No, I have to think, get up early, get your breakfast sorted, I'm going out, right? And I'm sitting in the sun. I'm not like, oh, no, the sun is too bad. I don't want to be in the harvest anymore, in the field, right? Workers deny themselves. Who does this make you think of? This makes me think of when Jesus said, if you want to follow me, right? If you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. Workers deny themselves. Does it mean that you will always be the, oh, you know, no one cares? No. Jesus gave his life for you. That is why you're giving your life for him. Does this mean you have to work for your salvation? No. Jesus saves you no matter what you do, no matter where you are at. He doesn't need your works to save you. But when you come to me saying, hey, who cares for the harvest? Who has what they have? Who wants what they have for them also to have? They are the workers. They are the workers. A second thing about the workers is, workers is not consumers. Okay? Workers is not consumers. Isn't it true? If I go harvest, I'm not sitting there and say, hey, just serve me, everyone. I'm the harvester. Right? Hey, I'm just here so that I will be pleased. Hey, I'm just here so that I will receive. Hey, I'm just here so that it will be about me. No, it's about working. It's about denying myself, right? If I'm working and getting in the harvest, I'm saying, I'm laying down myself, what I want, when I want it, and I'm saying, Jesus, use me. Right? Jesus, use me. Help me to be a blessing for the harvest to come in. Right? And I mean that, as we said, we have different functions, right? Or different functions in the harvest. We have the guy who's driving the tractor. Woohoo! The whole day in the sun. It's not always that much fun, right? We have the people that really has to throw the things in. We have the farmers saying, hey, this, do that, what. Everyone has a different function. But you have a whole lot that's just working hard. What is God calling you to do? What is your work to bring the harvest field in? Maybe it's not even just what God is calling you to do. Maybe you should just say, where's the need? Where's the need? Where's the need? Lord, let me not just be a consumer. Let me walk and work. This morning while we were praying, interceding for the service this morning, I saw this picture of someone pushing a really hard thing like this. It's a very heavy thing, and they're pushing. And I just felt God asking, are you willing to push? Are you willing to push? You know, this venue of us, we need a bigger one. Eh? So Derek and I have been looking around, looking for different venues. And there's a certain area that it seems like all the venues that we're looking at is in that area. And yesterday we were there, and we just walked around a bit, and it's uncomfortable. It's not a typical nice area. And as I walked, I was just like, Lord, there's a lot of spiritual warfare necessary in this place. Lord, there's a lot of people that needs you in this place. Are we willing to push? You see, there can be one person or two people behind this everything pushing. But if there's 30, do you think it's going to be as hard? No ways. No ways. If there's 30 people pushing behind this thing, and we're like, we're willing to push. It's not like, pushing again, really? No, it's people saying, let's push. I'm ready. And we get behind that thing, and we start pushing. I mean, it's not going to be like, we're going to walk, and we're going to push this thing over. Whatever needs to happen. Are we willing to push? That's the question. The third thing about workers is, workers work for the Lord of the harvest. Yo, that's good news, right? Workers work for the Lord of the harvest. Who's the Lord of the harvest? Jesus, God. We're not working for human beings. We're not working for Marichan because she said, hey, you have to work. No. If you do that, you're going to do it for the wrong reasons. You're going to get tired. You're going to get offended, and you're going to run away. Okay? But if you do it because you're doing it for the Lord of the harvest, God, you want to push for Jesus, then you're going to go on. Why? Because we sang it this morning. It doesn't matter if I get weak. Doesn't matter if I grow tired. Jesus is by my side, and I know that I can endure with joy. Because my hope is not things of this world. My hope is in the Lord of Lords. Right? You all still with me? Are you awake? Are you happy? Do you want to run away? Sure, okay. Great, so if you go home today, ask yourself, am I a worker and who am I working for? Okay, am I a worker and who am I working for? The last question, what must we do? What is the scripture saying? What must we do? Well, firstly, I would say, let's look at Jesus. What did he do? I don't know about you, but I want to be like Jesus. Am I ever going to get there? No, not on this earth. But I'm going to go and work as hard as I can to be like Jesus. Why? Why? He's the ultimate. He's my savior. There's nothing that can compare to him. He's my hero. He's the one who is pure. He's the one who walked this earth and showed me how to walk this earth, right? He gave me everything, so I want to give him everything. What must we do? What's the first thing Jesus? A, do what Jesus did. We want to do what Jesus did. In this piece of scripture, what did Jesus do? Well, in verse 35, it says he taught. He was teaching. He went around all the cities. Now, this was in Galilee, and there was more than 240 cities, right? That's a lot. 240. And he's not driving in the taxi. He's walking. 240 cities he went to teach. Now, you might ask me, I'm not a teacher. Sure you are. Wherever you are, people are looking at you, especially if you're saying you're a Christian. You're teaching them. You're teaching them how it looks like to be a believer. You're teaching your children in what you do, how you do it. They are looking at you. You are teaching them constantly. What's the second thing Jesus did? He proclaimed the good news. He wasn't ashamed of it. He proclaimed it. He said that there is a way. There's a way to the Father. I am the way, Jesus said. He proclaimed it. Now I want to tell you, you can proclaim it in your workplace. You can proclaim it wherever you are. You can just love on people, and that's proclaiming the good news, right? But I just want to give you a glimpse that in this city of ours, there are, well, not more, just under 600,000 people. That's a lot, right? There is 600,000 people in this Durban area. How many of us are here this morning? Let's say we are 30. Let's say each one of us start a church tomorrow. We go plant a church. Let's say we do really well, and each one of us get 1,000 people in our church. Then you did really well, okay? There's not a lot of churches in this city with 1,000 people, okay? You have 1,000 people in a church. How many people did we reach? 30,000. Moi, Cindy. Cindy's quicker. 30,000 people. How many people are left? 570,000 people. You know, I've got people that always say to me, "Ugh, another church." I'm like, praise the Lord, another church. Praise the Lord, another church that can reach people. Because why? Because the harvest is plentiful. Praise the Lord for another church. I want to tell you, what is the aim or the vision of our church? Yes, it's that passion for Jesus and people to serve and all of that. But it's also this. We say, disciple people, raise up leaders, and then plant churches. We're like, oh, you just want to plant churches. No, we just don't just want to plant churches. We want to get the harvest in. And where does that happen? In a church. Where does people get discipled? In a church. Where does people get raised up as leaders? In the church. We don't want people to get raised up out there in the world systems. We want leaders to be raised up here in a safe environment with good biblical principles, right? With Jesus as their aim. Yo, I don't know. God is challenging me and saying, dream bigger. Dream bigger. Dream bigger and get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your little box. Get out of how you think I am or what I can do. And I want to tell you today, you are not here this morning by accident. God had an appointment with you. Why? Because he chose the word for this morning, not me. He knew what you need to hear. The last while, he's talking to us a lot about those things. Get your fight back. Derek spoke last week about taking on those giants, right? Why? Because I know who I am in Christ. Walking on water, right? Pam is a walking on water woman. Amen? Okay, second thing. See as Jesus saw. See as Jesus saw. What did Jesus see? Yes, he saw the crowds, but then what did he say? They are harassed and without a shepherd. This morning we're driving, we're going to pick up Nonkanyezi, and there's a park there, and people are doing, you know, this kind of thing, you know. And as we're driving past, my first thing in my head is, my first reaction. I didn't see as Jesus saw. I saw what they did. I looked in the natural, right? But God wants us to see like he sees in the spiritual. As we drove on, I'm like, Jesus, help me. Because I'm still looking in the physical. Then as we drove past the other side, okay, I see them again. Lord, bless them. Lord, save them. I'm like, let me just get to another place. But I still didn't allow my eyes to see them for who they really are. Who are they? They are harassed and helpless. Without a shepherd, a father who covers them and look after them. Right? Let's pray for Jesus to open our eyes to see as he does. And then to respond as he did. How did he respond? He had compassion. He had compassion. When I came to Durban, I walked the streets here. And as I was walking, I've told the story so many times. But I said to the Lord, I don't have a heart for the lost, you know. I don't have a heart for the lost, Jesus. Will you give me a heart for the lost? And, you know, when you pray prayers like that, God answers. Why? Because he loves the lost. So he's going to give you a heart for the lost. So God gave me a heart for the lost. And then when I will pray for the lost, I was crying so much and it hurt so much that I thought, I'm going to stop. It's too much hard work. It's literally paining in my heart. And then I hardened my heart. I took that compassion away. God is saying, no, let's get back to that place. William Booth. You know who he is? He started the Salvation Army way back. And they planted many Salvation Army churches around the cities and the country. And the people started contacting them and they said, hey, the people are not coming. We're not getting people to be saved. And they're saying, why? What must we do? And he answered with two words. He said, try crying. He actually used the word try tears. Try tears. Crying for those who don't know Jesus. We know what we have. We know how privileged we are. And we see a people who don't. Let's ask the Lord for that, right? My last point of the last points. I'm like one of those preachers, last point. Okay. What lies behind all this? Do what Jesus did, see as Jesus did, and respond as Jesus did. What lies behind that? How do we get to that place? Firstly, with an intimate relationship with Jesus ourselves. Right? With an intimate relationship with Jesus ourselves. If I have that relationship with Jesus, I want others to have it also. It changes me. You know, it changes me. And when I have a relationship with Jesus, I see what he does. When I read his word, I see how he responded. When I get to spend time with him, what happens? Immediately, I start to become more like him. Immediately, I start to do things like he did it. Immediately, I start to see things as he sees it. And to feel things like he feels it. You know, Derek and I have been married for a whole year now. A whole year. Okay? We spend a lot of time together now. every day I catch myself doing something that he usually does. And then many times things that irritates me. No, I'm joking. Okay? But if you spend time with someone on a regular basis, you pick up their habits, the way they speak, whatever it is, you pick it up. So you start doing it yourself, even if you don't want to sometimes. How much more if we spend that time with the Lord in His Word? We start just doing it. You know, I'm still working on Noku. You know, I'm saying to her, I love you, Noku. Nothing back. You know, but I'm keeping on. I'm pressing on. But I'm telling you, the longer we're going to get together and stay together, it's going to happen. Yeah? Noku, maybe now. Okay, so it's an intimate relationship with Jesus, and it's a lifestyle of prayer. It's a lifestyle of prayer. Okay? It actually goes together. My intimate relationship with Jesus is prayer is communion with the Father, but then there's also a place of petition, so we're asking Him, we're seeking, and then there's a place of intercession, where we stand in the gap. Oh, it's my favorite part of prayer. Standing in the gap for people, seeing people's lives change without them even knowing you've prayed for them. A lifestyle of prayer. God is calling us to pray again. You're to rise up in the army, and I almost feel like that's that pushing. Are we ready to push? Are we ready to push? Good. Let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.